You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to a couple of races on the card at Catterick on Tuesday. You can join Mark Walton, Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mount in the William Hill Racing Radio studio for all of the action, not just at Catterick. We've also got racing to come from Bangor and Chepstow on Tuesday afternoon. Then we go racing to Wolverhampton on Tuesday night. Plenty to come. We'll be taking a spin through the Monday jury as well. My name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's edition of the podcast, it's a very warm welcome to Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hello, Sam Norris. Thrilled to be live. Thrilled to be in the freezing cold studio with you. Thrilled that the clocks have gone back. Thrilled that winter is on the way. I'm thrilled.
You seem thrilled.
I'm thrilled.
Do you like this time of year? Obviously, we've got the Charlie Hall coming up this weekend, which is for many people the start of the jump season proper.
Yeah, it is. It's a transitional time of year, Sam. I woke up at 7 a.m. this morning. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah,
it was light outside. I'd slept well. I was ready for breakfast. There was someone knocking on my door. It had all gone mad. Do I like this time of year? No, not yet. No, I'm not. I'm still lamenting, mourning the loss of summer slash autumn, and I'm not ready for winter yet. So it's a weird time.
From a betting perspective as well, do stakes have to be reduced at this time of year? You're not certain with some of the National Hunt form as of yet?
I would say less stakes, not necessarily that stakes have been reduced, but the number of bets have gone down, yeah.
Okay.
And you invariably get that frustrating case where horses you've been keeping an eye on pop up and you go, oh god damn it, because maybe you've backed them a couple of times and horses start to, unlucky horses start to find winnable opportunities.
Yes.
Which is frustrating.
Indeed. I've also got the Breeders' Cup, of course, to come this weekend. Is it a meeting that you particularly like? I hope so, because it makes up about half of the Monday jury.
Yeah, it is. It fascinates me. Again, from a betting perspective, I think it's very difficult, but anything where you get the very best of horse racing on show, it's hard to be negative about it, really. Like I said, if your sole purpose is trying to find winners, then it's difficult. But from a pure crowning spectacle, yeah.
Mm. Very much looking forward to that. Getting underway at Churchill Downs on Friday. Straight into the Monday jury we go, though, and we start a little bit closer to home with a recap on some of the weekend star performers. Of course, we had the final Group 1 of the British flat racing season over the course of the weekend, the Virtum Futurity Trophy, as it's now known, formerly the Racing Post Trophy, won by Magna Grecia for Aidan O'Brien. Was there much that impressed you in the race, including the winner?
Well, it was an odd, it was a fairly odd lineup, in the sense that it is one of those races that it tends to nowadays crown a horse who blossoms at the back end of the season. It's not an overly competitive race in the sense that, such as, I don't know, say the Dewhurst might be or something. It's more a, you usually get one horse coming out of it where you really think this is going to be interesting for next year. And Magna Grecia was very much that nominated horse by both the market and in the final form as well. I like the way he picked up in the closing stages, hit the an inevitable flat spot in the mid part of his race. But yeah, the fact that he weaved through runners and stayed on very strongly at the death is a positive for him. So he was better the further they went. He's very lightly raced. They finished in a bit of a bunch. That would be my concern. I haven't checked I haven't gone through and done the speed figure yet, so I don't know how good it is on that respect. The Roaring Lions was very good last year.
Yeah, sure.
for example. So yeah, interesting to see how it works out. But visually, he's a horse who can only improve with run.
Okay, second question then, one which is open to more debate, something that plenty of people have differing opinions on. Is it time for the jockey's title to once again embrace the entire turf season? Of course, in its current format, it runs from starting Guineas Day to Champions Day at Ascot. The turf season, though, as a whole, as we know, runs from, well, Doncaster to Doncaster, from the Lincoln meeting to November Handicap Day.
Logically, it would make sense for it to run the whole season, for because I think the problem with it is it does tend to, for example, if you're northern based, there's a lot of racing early on and late on. You might be able to pick up a few winners.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is that potential problem. However, given the miles that jockeys do and the amount of how much they slog themselves to be riding these horses, I don't think there's any need to extend it, really.
Certainly wouldn't have changed the result this year, would it, or in any of recent years?
No.
Sylvester De Souza would have won it regardless.
And the years where it has, it might have changed the result. Like I said, it got to the point where jockeys were being flogged left, right and centre for the best part of 2 or 3 weeks. So I think it's fine as it is, personally. I could see why people would be a little bit frustrated with it, but I really don't think it needs to change.
Good, I suppose, as well, for the champion jockey to have that the pomp and ceremony of Champions Day at Ascot.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're going to get crowned, you might as well get crowned on Champions Day. You are the champion.
Yeah,
So, yeah, I think it makes sense. I don't think you're really missing that much.
Mm. Okay. On to one of my least favourite topics in racing.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But I'll tackle it anyway. I know lots of people love debating this topic. Winx and Cracksman, who would you rate higher, or are they level pegging? And I'll, if you do have a strong opinion, I'll allow you to throw Enable into that mix as well. It's, as I say, something I don't see a huge value in debating. Is it something that keeps you up at night, Ross?
No, not at all. There's strengths on either side. I mean, the fact that Winx has just done it for years now against any opposition, really, is, you know, very impressive. Cracksman, in contrast, you know, has had his flat spots. He's looked a little lazy, a little recalcitrant at times, and I don't know. I mean, you're comparing two horses of differing profiles in different hemispheres running different races. So, I it's not the kind of thing for me. I'd say, given Winx's, the fact that she keeps coming back and doing it for longer, I think she's earned the right to be top of that tree. But it doesn't bother me. I don't know why you can't just enjoy things on their own merit without having to compare them to this, that and the other. Is it better than it used to be? Is it going to be is this good? Is this bad? Is this better? Just go for a walk, Sam. There's a whole world out there.
I'm glad that you've said that, because I find the constant desire to try and decide who's better a little bit tedious as well.
I understand it is a human thing. You're trying to find your place in the world, and you're trying to find anything to help you work that out, but that way madness lies. So let's just enjoy their individual achievements without worrying who is better.
Hear, hear. On to this weekend's action then at the Breeders' Cup. Fabulous couple of days of racing coming up on Friday and Saturday from Kentucky, and we start with the Breeders' Cup Classic, and one of the European chances, of course. Mendelssohn, Roaring Lion, Thunder Snow are going to be the main challengers. I suppose Toast of New York might run in as well, but betting would suggest that's not going to be a main challenger. A race that Europe has had limited success in over the years, Ross, but has not gone completely without a win.
No, but I do think it's a big ask. I mean, the last time... the last time it went our way was Raven's Pass, and that was on synthetics, and they soon got rid of that and went back to dirt. I think we've got very little chance, to be fair. It's just not our game. Unless they start running let's just start running group races at Southall, then this it's not going to happen.
Yep.
We're going over to play the Americans at their own game in this respect. And that's why we go and dominate the turf.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we've just got... The competition is higher. So, yeah, I mean, Roaring Lion's got it all to do. Mendelssohn's been put in his place several times already, as has Thunder Snow. I think it's asking a lot, to be fair.
Mm.
You've got some real dirt grinders. And I think they will dominate.
Okay. On to one of the races that Europe is likely to have a much better chance of winning, and that is the Breeders' Cup Turf. Enable, a banker in this one. Ross, great to see her go out there. Has obviously had a truncated season, has only had the couple of runs thus far this year, so great that they can tap this on the end of it. And no decision made yet about her potential future as well. So we could potentially see her next year. I think it'll be dependent on whether she wins this or not, but...
Yeah, I think she should win it. She's had, like you said, she's had a frustrating season, but it has potentially set up nicely for her. She wasn't at her best at Longchamp, but still won. She's fresh in the grand scheme of things. As I said, the Europeans dominate this race, and for good reason, because the best turf races in the world are in Europe. And Enable has won it.
Yeah, yeah.
So... I think she'll be very, very hard to beat. There are other European angles, of course. Val Geest and Magical both have rock solid form, but she's something a little bit special in Abel. Mm. And she's very much the one to beat, and I hope she does win.
And finally, then, wrapping up the Monday jury this week, what or who was your favourite Luca Cumani horse over the years? He's obviously announced that he's going to be retiring from training. Is there any standouts in your mind?
Nothing major, personally. I mean, this year, God Given's done me a couple of favours. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the likes of Postponed and has really flown the flag before, you know, things have obviously gone a bit quieter the last few years. But I usually come from a betting angle with these kind of things. And
I was just about to say, the fact that you haven't got one to call to mind tells me that you've never had a big winner on a Luca Cumani horse.
Well, the only decent bet I can really recall was Forte de Marmi when it won the Zetlin Gold Cup several years ago. I thought it was I won't go as far as an absolute certainty, but a handicap blot.
If nothing else, that's at least a different answer to those that have been provided in the paper by the actual Monday jury this week.
Well, it's from they're going to be from a different angle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
They're going to go for pomp
big
and derby circumstance.
Winners. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going for when I landed a decent touch at a handicap.
Okay.
Presvis would be the one. Presvis as well. I haven't read their answers in Monday jury. I don't know if anyone's mentioned Presvis.
Barathea, Falbrav. They're the only two, really.
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing. So, again, the nostalgia, looking back, is not really my forte, De Marmi. But Presvis at Nadal Sheba a few years ago was an absolute monster. And he was a proper globetrotter, £4.3 million in prize money.
Okay.
A horse who, you know, was pretty good on his day in this country, but then decided to take on all comers and was a real... Grade one superstar.
Hmm.
I'd forgotten about Presvis. Now I'm reminiscing in my own head. This is weird. I didn't think I had it in me.
How's the nostalgia treating you?
It's all right. Yeah. I mean, he won a couple of races at Maidan and Nadal Sheba in times that would boggle the mind.
Right.
And he had a right old turn of foot. Presvis would be for me. But Forte de Marmi was probably my best return from a Cumani horse, but Presvis was a bit of a monster.
Good. Let's turn our attention on to Tuesday's racing then, and take a look at Catterick, where we've got a couple of races picked out on the Catterick programme. Ross is hopefully going to guide us in the direction of one or two winners at Catterick. And we start with the 2 o'clock race, which is a handicap over 7 furlongs, a class 4 event. Where do you go for this one, Ross?
I think I'm having a little each way double.
Very nice. Is this going to be a filthy each way double?
No, it can't be. Okay. There's a couple of cracking races at Catterick, a couple of very good handicaps. So it's more the
a proper traditional each way double.
A traditional each way double of horses at decent prices, and if they hit the frame, we're laughing.
Good.
One of them is our Charlie Brown in the 2 o'clock for Tim Easterby. The winner of this race last year, I just get the feeling they've been looking at this race again.
Okay.
Throughout the last few runs. Gone close in a couple of events at Musselburgh and Catterick earlier on in the season. But just started to creep down the handicap. Won this race last year off a mark of 75. It just seems to have done a very similar thing. Last year ran in a hot handicap behind Boots and Spurs off 77, got dropped £2 to 75. This year ran in exactly the same handicap off 74 and has got dropped £2 to 72. The interesting thing for this is that James Sullivan is the only real jockey who can get this horse involved. Now, he hasn't ridden it since Chester back in July. Dropped £5. He's back on board today. And I think they're going for another... Trainers, owners, creatures of habit, I think they're going for another crack.
Okay.
So our Charlie Brown looks to have a leading claims in the 2 o'clock.
Looking to retain his crown then, our Charlie Brown in that 2 o'clock race at Catterick. And on to the 3:05, where we have a sprint handicap. What are you doubling up with our Charlie Brown?
Yeah, again, another good race. Russian Realm and Buccaneers Vault, both very much suited by the way the race was run at Newcastle. Handsome Dude's a little bit interesting off the back of his good run last time out as well. Van Gerwen's going to be quite popular based on his second two at Musharraf at Pontefract. His best form comes over five. So I thought Highland Acclaim was a bit overpriced for David O'Mara. A horse who has had a good season. I mean, one of those handicappers you wished you owned because you always get a win out of him. Was a winner at Epsom. In fact, his last five wins have all come at Epsom. But his 6 furlong form is a lot better than what he's been showing, really. Last couple of runs on the old weather weren't for him. He's dropped in grade, he's dropped in the handicap, he's dropped in trip. I think there's a lot to like about Highland Acclaim. So, our Charlie Brown and Highland Acclaim each way double.
Very good. Thank you very much for that, Ross. You can join us on William Hill Racing Radio on a Tuesday afternoon with Mark Walton, Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mount in the studio for Catterick. We've also got Banger and Chepstow in the afternoon. Wolverhampton's come in the evening. Ross, pleasure as always, and best of luck.
Bye-bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.